Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and it's just the two of us today.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to kind of throw Kyle for a little bit of a spin that we didn't talk about, but
all right.
Guess what? I spoke what? This past Sunday, so you're the boss today.
I thought you were going to say that too. That's funny. Yeah, so Damon, like, what was it that you wanted to share that you didn't get a No, I thought this multi-gen service was really good. I wasn't even there, but I got to watch it online because I was across the street at the sports basement, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I thought it went really well. And then just the whole day, like the whole multi-gen theme, I thought, we should talk on that a little bit. But this was really the first time that you had Sean with you as part of the – you introduced him last month. But this time having him be a part of it and kind of getting him to take steps into even developing, you know, what you guys are going to talk about, how you're going to do it. Is there any insight on that process that you can share? Before you do that, I want to say, I thought it was really good, his stage presence and just seeing that extra, a different generation, like two different generations up there on stage. I thought, oh, that's helpful.
Is that your underhanded way of calling me old?
As I was saying that, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, there is something there. So yeah, you caught it. I guess that was my subconscious that was throwing that out there for me.
I mean, I guess I deserve it for doing all the 50-50 stuff.
Yeah, so back at you. No, but I thought it was good to have multiple generations on stage as we're trying to reach multiple generations in the audience. I'm like, oh, there's value in doing it that way. So just from like watching it, I thought, oh, that's actually a good, there's a different avenue by doing that. So I know your kids are involved in the service of announcements and, you know, different things like that, which helps. But in the actual message, to have that more consistent, I'm like, oh, I could see a benefit from that.
Yeah, and one of the cool things that happened afterwards was as we're driving home, Dylan asks me, like, okay, Daddy, who else is going to be on the team? Like, because he is already anticipating this team growing.
Mm, cool.
And so I think, you know, Sean did a really good job on Sunday, and that made it so that Dylan was excited about, like, oh, this team's going to grow, and it, like, went well. Because if it didn't go well, he wouldn't be like, who else is going to be on the team? He'd be like, all right, do we need to cut Sean?
Yeah. Ouch.
I mean, kids can be.
I know.
But he didn't say that, so Sean, you did a good job. So one of the things that I wanted to do as we're introducing Sean and bringing him onto the team for Multigen is, you know, I don't want to throw too much at him too quickly, but I do want to help him to kind of walk the journey of taking more responsibility. So he was the one that actually got to choose what person we were going to be talking about for this month. So he chose the Apostle Paul. And then we were kind of discerning back and forth what it would look like. And we kind of came to the point where he said, oh, it would be good, Sean, to share your testimony. And I really felt like it really fit in alignment with what we were talking about with Paul too, right? Just the transformation of his perspective and the way that he's seeing the multi-gen service. And it was interesting because afterwards I did talk to a few different people and they had said, you know, some of the things that Sean was sharing, I was like that too. There were times where I didn't really like the multi-gen or I felt, you know, some of them had young kids at the time. It's like, oh, when I had the young kids, it was so stressful having them in there because they're always being squirrely and I didn't want people to think that I'm that parent or, you know, just different types of comments. But now seeing where we're at, they're like, no, but I really value what we're doing as a church at multi-gen. I really think that that's unique to... There's not a lot of churches that are doing things like that. So, I felt like that was a really big affirmation in the direction that we're moving as a church, as we're walking as a multi-generational family. And yeah, it was good. I did feel like Sean, you know, some of his personality was able to come out on stage. You never know until they actually do it, right? Mm-hmm. Are they going to get stage fright? But it was cool to see his personality, the fun side of him, you know, wanting to interact with the kids and the rest of the congregation too. And, you know, I've just been really personally touched by his journey, you know, the past few months of the ways that the Lord has been shaping him through his Japan trip, which he shared a little bit about, and then also hearing what the Lord did at the retreat with him too, and some of the stuff that, you know, Blake shared about previously when he came on as well in their family. It's like, oh, this has been really cool. I feel like the Lord has really had his hand on things. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for where we're going to go. Sean's getting ready for next month already. We're starting to talk about what it's going to look like for next month for MultiGen. And so, you know, as we keep going and as we keep moving along, you'll see Sean taking more and more responsibility. But yeah, I just wanted to get his feet wet a little bit. And I thought it would be good for people to hear just kind of where he has been in the past, and especially in terms of how he viewed MultiGen and kind of where he's at now. And yeah, I got so much good positive feedback that he did a good job. So I'm really looking forward to seeing and hearing what's next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. I was able to have a conversation with him recently over a meal, and it was good. I don't get to talk to him that much. A little bit here and there, more like a sidebar with my kids interacting with him. But yeah, I got to hear a little bit more of his heart, the transformation that's been happening inside. And not only is it exciting, I guess part of why it's exciting is that you can tell there's a genuine shift that's happened and that the Lord has got a hold of him in a unique way. And it's just really exciting to see the passion that he has and his faith. And it's encouraging on the adult side just to see that. And I want to have more interactions with those age groups, the different age groups. So, it's cool. I'm glad. I like the way it's going and where it's heading.
Yeah, and I think it's also, I feel like he's one of the first fruits of kind of a direction that has been on my heart too for a while. Is just how do we integrate the kids that are graduating from high school into the main congregation, right? And what does it look like? And how do we help to make that transition smoother? And so I feel like, he's setting this kind of a new expectation for what it looks like after they graduate, that there are roles for them. There are things, ways that they can serve, ways that they can be incorporated with the adults too in service. So, yeah, I'm excited for that aspect too, that he's kind of setting the tone for what it looks like.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, and then the service ended and a new era began.
We're calling this the sports basement era.
It was interesting. So I was the point person for that, making the reservation and everything. So I was the one to go over there and help get it set up. And we weren't sure exactly what was going to be needed. And just more unknown. So I got over there early, so I missed the service. But we got set up, and then I was like, okay, how many people are actually going to come over? Because I actually thought some people might get in their car and just be like, I'm just going to go home. Or go do something else. And as we set up a lot, we set up for almost 200, I think, 200 seats. And a big wave came, and then there was still quite a bit left, and quite a bit seats. And I was like, oh, shoot, I think we set up too many. But it was interesting because people kept trickling over. So probably just the afterglow of the service, people talking and, you know, making their way over slowly, but then more and more people. And at one point, then I looked around, and I'm like, wow, every table is at least semi-full. There's a few, you know, sprinkling of seats here and there, but I thought, oh, this is really good, because that means probably almost all the people that were in service came over. And so it was a lot of fun. And again, for me, it was just the highlight of the multi-gen aspect, seeing different generations interact with each other. Like, I was able to play pool with generations above me. Those are becoming few and far between as I'm getting older. I played football with some of the little kids, with my son and some little kids. And then I played with a young adult, 20-something, you know, late 20-something, playing pool there too, and just sat with somebody like closer to my age for lunch. So I thought it was a lot of fun, where I even got to just experience different generations myself. And I felt really, really filled afterwards.
Yeah, I really thought it was cool just being able to look around, because the space is so wide open. Yeah. So you could see, I mean, to the whole thing, right? It's wide open.
It was bigger than most people. Most people's first thoughts or comments were, well, this is way bigger than I expected. So it's a big space.
I had never been over there. And I was one of the last people to leave because I was helping to clean up mm-hmm. at the Kingdom Center. Mm-hmm. So when I got up there, I was like, oh, actually quite a few people came.
Yeah,
that was really cool. And then just to see the different ages intermixing, sports and like activities like that are just easy entry points for mm-hmm. people to interact. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to be able to, you know, talk at a certain common lingo or anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we can just play a game and have fun together. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really awesome. And just a reflection of the heart of our church too, mm-hmm. just the ways that, you know, even people that might not know each other super well can get together and play some pickleball or, mm-hmm. you know, it was cool to see the younger people doing, playing wiffle ball. And mm-hmm. then there was pool and chess and kids' toys and, mm-hmm. you know, watching the
ping pong,
the little girls on the, pushing each other around on the shopping cart.
Yeah,
it's like, how
funny.
Much fun can you have on a shopping cart? You could play for over an hour just pushing each other around on a shopping cart. But it was just really, just the atmosphere and the feel of it was just really good. And, you know, it just really felt like this is our church family and mm-hmm. we just enjoy spending time together. And it started off with our service and then it continued on to the sports basement. Mm-hmm. You know, someone... later on in the day, I'd mentioned like, oh, this kind of felt like a mini retreat, mm. right? Like just the way that we did have some, you know, message type stuff. We did some fun activities together and then the baptism to cap it all off, right? It just really felt like a full day. And yeah, so for the sports basement, you know, I heard some people saying, maybe we should do this every month. Not sure if that's the right decision, but I did hear some people already mentioning that they'd want to do it again, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I can say we had a brief discussion at a staff meeting yesterday, but I think I can say pretty confidently we'll do it again. How frequent, I'm not sure yet, but yeah, we will. It went well. This last Sunday was definitely a test run to see, mm-hmm. does this match? Does it fit what we want? Does it have a good feel? And I think it checked all the boxes. So I'm looking forward to doing it again. And then what else can we incorporate and how can we make it even, I think, just more catalyst and what we're trying to do. So
you're saying that you want some karaoke?
Okay, there's a stage, there's a sound, and I hooked up my phone to it. So I tried to put some background music there's flexibility. So one person said, are we going to have our service here? Like, cause they said, there's a stage and there's sound. I'm like, okay, but there's other things with that. So I don't know that we would go that route, but who knows? But I think it's cool that people saw the benefits of just being up there together in that space and being open and had a good feel.
Yeah. And I feel like it's, just the feel of it and everything, it's like really that's what we're hoping that our own facility will foster more opportunities for things like that. And just recognizing it doesn't have to be at Sports Basement that we do some of these things, but we just enjoy being together and being able to intermix and we can find the things to do, but it's just creating the atmosphere and the culture of just people getting together and stuff. And I've been hearing a lot of comments about just that value being raised in individuals and people having more of a desire to mix with, you know, people of different generations, mm-hmm. people of different that they don't normally interact with. Mm-hmm. And there's more of a desire for that. And so I feel like that was a really good opportunity for people. It's just in a really simple, easy entry way to do some of those things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, it's definitely stuff we can build on and we can even be more intentional about some of that as we kind of continue down that path. But I think it is one of the values of our church is family and specifically the multi-gen aspect. And I think, you know, hopefully you're seeing some different shifts in that, or our listeners are, and I'm sure you'll be seeing more in the future. I'm pretty sure Pastor Barry will be talking about that in January. For what's coming in 2026. But we're trying to be a little bit more intentional about that. And I think it's really something that there's a big hole in the world that people long for that kind of stuff. And so I think it's a good avenue, not only for us and to build ourselves up, but even to be that kind of the city on the hill where that's like a light where, oh man, you guys do family activity type things well. You do family interactions well. You guys... you guys aren't isolated by age group. So yeah, I think we want to definitely push into that more.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there is a desire for that, even in the world. You know, I was talking to someone who doesn't go to our church and kind of talking a little bit about this past Sunday, and they were like, yeah, you know, I really appreciate what you guys are doing as a church. You know, I learn a lot, and I try to bring some of these things back to my church because we don't do anything like that. But yeah, just what you guys are doing is good. They're like, I feel very blessed just hearing the stories about what's going on at your church. So in that way, it's like we are acting as a catalyst because the things that the Lord is stirring in us, it's actually not just for within the walls of our church, but other people are experiencing that too. Kind of also want to give a shout out to Elena because I heard at the Sports Basement that she was reaching out to some of the other families that were not a part of our church that were at the Sports Basement
and inviting
them to church and offering them some food and things like that. So, man, just Elena, awesome job. I just really feel like the way that you are living your faith all the time. It's not just like my faith is at church or my faith is in a specific place, but it's you're living your faith all the time. I feel like that's where we want to all be.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was alluding to is in how can we develop this even more as we move forward and bring in more aspects like that where we're interacting with the people outside of our, we can do it with the people in our church, but doing it also outside of just whoever's up there. And hey, maybe we're giving a prophetic word to somebody. Maybe we're, hey, is there anything I can pray for? And just going into it as it's fun, it's lunch, there's activities, we're going to have a good time, but what else? Like what else would the Lord want us to do? Or just to be open to and be aware of opportunities. Yeah. So it was a very good experience. I didn't have a lot of doubt, but I wasn't sure the reception and the participation level.
And people stayed for a long time too. It's not like people just like ate and took off, right? Yeah. There were people, I mean, I think I left because I was going to go to the baptism afterwards. I think I left at like 3:15 and there were still people there. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a lot of people, but I mean, I think a lot of people stayed till at least 2:30.
Big number until 2:00. And then I think it started dwindling, but it was a lot of fun. Yeah, and then you alluded to it a couple of times. Then we had our third thing for that day, which we had a baptism, which was very unique in the sense that we don't usually do November baptisms. So, we had the Kubota family get baptized, which was three generations all at one time. So that was really special, and that carried forward that theme of the multi-gen family. So, I mean, what kind of thoughts do you have on that and just what you took away from the baptism?
Well, we got there probably right about when it was supposed to start. It was supposed to start at 4:00, so we got there right about 4:00. And, you know, I knew it was just one family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, normally when we have a baptism, we'll have 7 or 8 different families represented, the people that are getting baptized. So it was one family. So I was like, oh, I wonder how many people are going to show up. It's just one family. Mm-hmm. And we got there, I was like, wow, there's actually quite a few people here, a lot more than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, this already feels pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then it was a special time. Mm-hmm. I felt it was like a very special time just to see the three generations getting baptized together. I was like, oh man, this is so unique and special how this is all playing out, especially in light of the things that happened previously in that day, just the way that the Lord kind of capped it off with a multi-generational baptism. I was like, oh man, this was just such a good day. So I left feeling very full, very blessed to be a part of it. And just, it was really touching when Mr. Kubota, Glenn's dad, so the grandfather, when he shared about how blessed he was afterwards, it was like, and you could just tell it was from his heart. It wasn't just like, I'm supposed to say something, but it was just
blessed by like who came out.
Yes. Blessed by that. The people came out to support him and the family. And just, it just felt very genuine. And it was like, oh, I'm really glad that I was here to be a part of this and to witness this and to participate. And I mean, I just always appreciate when our church does things like that, like baptisms or, you know, when Pastor Barry does weddings, just there's something unique about the way that they invite or our church invites the Holy Spirit, and it just feels like a very holy moment whenever, whether it's a, you know, wedding, funeral, baptism, mm-hmm. Easter service, or, you know, just, I just feel like the way that we invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of it, it just makes it feel like a very holy moment. And so I felt like that with the baptism as well. It was just like, wow, this feels like a very holy moment. This is something very special.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's really cool. I felt like it was very significant for their family. Like, mm-hmm. So I kind of shared that with Glenn and Jess and even the parents. And I think it's just really cool when you get to witness that and see it, and you know it's gonna shift things, and directionally they're gonna be in a different place, mm-hmm. in the near future. So I think that's really awesome. I think for me, that just kind of encapsulating the whole day and then the multi-gen feel, I felt like God gave us a taste of what's in store for 2026, mm-hmm. and beyond. Like, we can have things like that and days like that. Like, it was a long day, and I know it was longer for you being the speaker. It was long for me too. And usually those days, like, Mimo was checking in between. We left a little bit before you because we went home to consolidate cars and then go to the baptism. And then we went home for about 10 minutes, and she was like, "Are you doing okay?" Because normally I'm a little introverted too, so that, like, spending that much time around people can drain me.
Well, you said that to me at the sports basement too.
Well, you look tired there. I'm like, oh man. But what I was gonna get at is, like, then we, in my flesh, I probably was like, I don't know if I really want to go to the baptism, but I knew in my spirit, I'm like, no, I want to be there. I want to, mm-hmm. be there to support and celebrate with them. And then going there, and then that night, and we picked up some food on the way home and ate at home, and I was like, I actually feel really good. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a long day, but it, because I think it was so filling, it didn't seem like it wasn't like a striving tiredness. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh yeah, I was on my feet a lot, and it was a long day, but it was really rewarding at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, oh, we have more of these in store for us in next year. But then I think it's just like an indicator of where we're going as a church. So I thought it was really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the multi-generational family thing is something that's really, really, really resonates with, mm-hmm. me anyway. And that's part of why I wanted to take the responsibility for the multi-gen service, mm-hmm. just because that is something that it touches my heart, right? To see that happening and to be able to experience that, you know. It was cool for me in the morning when I look up and my mom's sitting in the back, right?
Yeah,
so it's
cool.
Like, okay, there's three generations of my family here worshiping together, mm-hmm. on our multi-gen service, you know, that, and then, you know, having extended family there too, with, mm-hmm. nieces and nephews and, mm-hmm. brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law and all, and sisters, and yeah, my sister's going to get mad if I don't specifically say sister, but yeah, just, I do feel like it's a very special experience to be able to have that. And so, yeah, it really touches me that this is part of the direction that the Lord has for our church. And, you know, it's been something that we've tried to have since we started Catalyst. We've had our multi-gen service since the beginning. And I do feel like that's one of the really big things that's been important and a value for me personally. And it's cool to see that it's reflected in our church too.
Yeah, I think as you were just sharing, it reminded me of really culturally, as far as I've understood, the like biblical time period, like how they were so multi-generational and the way they, like the way their houses were set up, the way, mm-hmm. they lived and like their setting, it just led right into that, and how we've kind of, in a sense, push that out, and or it has to be, we have to be much more intentional about, mm-hmm. like pushing into that when we don't experience it, we don't know what we're missing. Mm-hmm. But then when we get those experiences, we're like, wow, this is really fun to have a big family. And it doesn't mean it's easy all the time or it can't be messy, but there's really a lot of value in being purposeful of trying to make things multi-generational. And I agree, multi-gen is it's an important thing for me as well. And I'm thankful for you taking the lead and trying to push into this area. And it's not always a smooth road, and there's things that we have to not just overcome, but we have to adapt to make them fit into what we have available. But I like that your determination is like, no, but this is worth it. We're going to go forward and we're going to find a way because this is that high of a value. So I think we're blessed by it as a church. And then like even the comment you said you heard from somebody else outside our church, we get that feedback of, yeah, this is important and this isn't common, but people really do want that.
Yeah, I like what you said. People don't know what they're missing because mm-hmm. they've never experienced it before, yeah. Right? And so when we do see it, when we do experience it, we recognize like, oh, there's something here. I might not know what it is, but there's something that's touching me or something that's resonating with me that this is good. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So, you know, something else that I thought was good that I keep forgetting to talk about, but it was really cool in the second worship set. Mm. Oh, I keep forgetting you weren't there, but
oh yeah, that's right.
It was really cool. In the second worship set, some of the kids brought out some of the flags, and just the way that they were worshiping was, I think it's different. So I want to give a shout out to Steph.
But why don't you give a little background of why that's happening now?
Yeah, so I want to give a shout out to Steph. So at the retreat, Steph and Laura led our children's ministry, and part of their focus was on worship and what does it mean to worship and what does worship really look like, right? And so after the retreat, we were talking and said, like, what was a highlight of the retreat that you would want to continue? Is there one thing that you would want to, you know, keep moving forward and keep pressing in on? And Steph was like, yeah, I would want to do worship. Mm. So some of the things that we've been doing is, you know, we have our Kingdom class, which is a family worship time, and we've had a few families come out to that, so that's before service. There's still a few more weeks left, so if you're listening to this and you want to be a part of it, I think we'd love to have more people come out, because so far it's been really good as Steph has been helping us to understand what it can look like in our homes to have a family worship time and what is worship all about. And then also with the Pride, she's been taking them out and having a dedicated worship time for the Pride where she does a little bit of teaching and then some experiential worship with that age group, which is the second graders through fifth graders.
Yeah, so this is during service, during the message, during the sermon, and then the second worship set. So there's teaching and there's still like class type setting, but then after that part's done, she's taking them for worship exposure, right?
Yeah, and so some of it is just giving them the freedom to worship and then giving them opportunities to like use flags and things like that. And, you know, really a lot of it is understanding how to use, if we're using props, how do we use them, right? And so that was one of the things that they did at the retreat was, you know, we don't mess around with the flags. They're not toys. Some of my kids would call them, these are our weapons of worship, right?
Because
it's a spiritual warfare type thing, right? But so there's a reverence to using them. There's a worship aspect of it. It's not just to mess around and play around with, but it was really cool. So in the second worship set, because Steph wasn't there. She was sick, but someone brought out the flags. And the ways that the kids were worshiping was just like, oh, they're in a different place than they used to be. They're not just messing around. The ones that are taking the flags and are worshiping, like they're trying to worship. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really cool. And seeing some of the parents coming over with the younger kids and doing it together, it's like, oh, this is what we want, you know, as we train up our young people in what worship looks like and how to worship. And I really feel like that's actually going to change the atmosphere of the whole church. Because, you know, it's easy to get distracted. But when we see the younger people engaged in worship, it's like, oh, like they're engaged. I want to be engaged too, like that too, right? So I do feel like there's a shifting that the, you know, this more of a focus on worship with the kids can really change the atmosphere in the whole congregation as well.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's a challenge to our listeners. Next multi-gen service, if you see that happening, speak into the kids, especially when you just, if you focus on one of the kids and they're, as they're flagging and you sense like the Lord, like just being on them and being glorified by their worship, just go up to them, whether it's during that time or after service ends, just give them that word of affirmation. Like, wow, you were really worshiping the Lord well. And I was blessed by it. And just things like that. I think that's where we can enhance the multi-gen part too. Of, doesn't mean you have to sit down and have a long conversation with somebody, but just even that, the adult side, speaking into the kids and where they see like, oh wow, I'm important enough where they came and talked to me, or I'm valued, I'm seen, and things like that. I think that's another aspect that on the adult side we can do more to enhance that part.
Yeah, and I really do feel like that made a difference in the service, where mm-hmm. when I was coming to close the service, I didn't even really feel like I was supposed to say much at mm-hmm. the beginning. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was supposed to let it sit a little bit, just because it was like, oh, the Holy Spirit is here and His presence is kind of thick and I don't want to ruin that. Mm-hmm. And so I just let it sit for, you know, a few seconds, just kind of a moment of silence. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, oh, there's something going on. Mm-hmm. And I felt that way actually after the first set too. So it's like, man, just the Holy Spirit was there the whole day. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, wow, this, you know, sometimes with multi-gen, it's easy to feel like, okay, we're just doing fun songs and it's like, you know, just very light. Mm-hmm. And it's harder to go to some of those deeper places. But I felt like the way that it went this Sunday, it was like some of the songs were light, but then whether it was the way that Ross was leading or just the Holy Spirit presence, it was just like, wow, it felt like we were able to go to some of those, like the holy places. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, this is, I don't know, for me, it was different as a multi-gen service. So I thought it was pretty cool.
It's cool. It's exciting. Hopefully that's a sign of more to come, because we've been pouring into this, mm-hmm. this new direction. So yeah, it's exciting. So as we wrap up, Damon, any last thoughts that you have, or any tidbits you wanted to throw in there?
You know, I do feel like I don't even know how to say this. Okay. I do feel like for all of our listeners out there, you know, we do feel like multi-gen and the multi-gen service is something that is a direction that the Lord has been leading us as a church in. And so we recognize that it's not for everybody, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea. And, you know, Sean had mentioned that for him, it was like, yeah, there were a lot of times where I was like, I'd rather be somewhere else than be here, right? And I've actually had that comment from other people as well, like that's how they felt. So, but saying that, a lot of them have said, now I really like it. Mm. And so wherever you were at on the spectrum of, you know, this is awesome, this is not for us, like, we really feel like this is a place that the Lord is leading us into, is walking together as a multi-generational family. And this is an opportunity for us as adults to model our worship experience for the kids so that they can see what it looks like when they get to be adults, mm-hmm. and to see that there's a place for them. And really, you know, one of the things that, when I was in seminary, one of the things that they said was, a lot of times in churches, when kids graduate from high school, mm-hmm. there's a big lack of attrition, meaning they leave the church basically, right? And so, you know, that's been a discussion. I mean, I finished at Talbot in 2011, so what, that's almost 15 years ago, right?
You see, you are getting old. I am
getting old, right? But this isn't a new discussion. This isn't, so yeah, that's right. Basically what I'm trying to say, it's right. Like, this has been something that they've been talking about for a long time,
right.
And so, you know, sometimes it's like, how do we help people to fit in better? How do we help give them things to do? And really, the way that I feel like the Lord has been leading me and some of the people in our staff and some of the discussions that we've been having is, it's not really about fitting. It's more about belonging. Mm. And so how do we help our people and especially our kids as they grow up to feel like they belong to our church and to the family of God, right? Because if they belong, then they're not going to want to leave, right? And so...
And if they belong, they'll find where they fit, right?
Yeah. And if they don't find where they fit, they'll create a space for them to fit, right? Because they belong here, right? And so I really feel like that's part of what this multi-gen direction is for us, is to help our kids and the other people in our church to feel like they belong, because they're not just interacting with people their own group, right? And so it's like, when you feel like you're interacting with your own group, well, what happens if that group leaves, or what happens if that group isn't there anymore? You know, it's easy to say like, okay, my group is gone, so I don't have a place here.
Yeah.
But if you belong to the whole body, it doesn't matter if that group is there or not, because you belong to the body, right? And so I believe that that's one of the reasons that we're moving in this direction with multi-gen, is because the Lord wants the people that come to Catalyst and interact with Catalyst to feel like they belong. They belong to a family of believers that are walking together. And it's not just with the group that of people that they used to talk to, but they belong to this whole body.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so that's why we interact with the kids. That's why we interact with the people that are older than us. And, you know, I was telling Kyle earlier, it's like, I feel very blessed to be a part of Catalyst. And even if I wasn't on staff, like this is the church that I would want to go to, because I feel like this is where I belong. Mm. And so really that's our hope for all the people that come, is that they feel like this is a place where I belong. I belong here. And I'm able to interact with the youngest of the young and the oldest of the old. Mm. And this is my family. Mm. And so really that's how I feel like the Lord is leading us personally, from my personal perspective. And it's really a blessing to see that play out, like this past Sunday, where we had a lot of things that were geared towards multi-generational stuff, and seeing people stepping into that, it was just a real blessing to me to see that.
Yeah, I mean, what I hear you saying is, Damon, that it's really a perspective choice, a perspective shift. But if we have the right perspective, then everything else kind of falls in line. But if our perspective is off, it makes things harder, it makes things clunky, and it makes things like where it doesn't fit. So yeah, it's a good reminder for all of us. What's our perspective right now, and does it need to be adjusted a little bit? Sometimes it might be just off a little, but sometimes it might be like, well, I'm just not even seeing this even close to where I should. So yeah, it's a good reminder to check in on that.
Oh wait, wasn't that point number one on my message this past Sunday, is that cooking starts with perspective?
Yes, sir. Way to bring it back full circle. So yeah, so it was a really exciting week, a weekend, Sunday specifically. But yeah, I think you're going to be seeing some more shifts coming up soon, and I think we have things in the works to be more intentional. But really, it also has to come from each of us at Catalyst, like where we have that shift of, oh, this is what God's calling me to pour into. This is what God's calling me to unite behind. And I think this calling to be the city on a hill where we shine in a way where it draws people in, we all can do that in different ways, but when we do it all together, that's what it's really powerful. Mm-hmm.
All right, now I get to throw it back at you. Do you have any last thoughts?
That was my last thought. I'm out of them now. I'm just excited for what's coming. So I feel really good. I think there's some fun stuff on the horizon, and God is leading us into this a new era, so to speak. I think being at the Kingdom Center, we're almost a year there, which is hard to believe.
I know.
10 months already into it, and it's good. So I think it'll be cool to see our Thanksgiving series, our Sunday service, when we have some sharing, and you know, we'll have some stuff at Christmas, and then it'll be good to see the vision that Barry lays out, being at this place for a year now, and then what's next. I'm excited. I think God has some cool things in store for us.
Can I tell you a little bit of a funny story?
Only a little bit of it.
Ha ha ha. You definitely are a dad. Okay, so this morning I was driving to the Freedom Center and I get a text from someone and they said...
This funny story. I'm like, where are you ending with this? I'm like, we're like wrapping up and I don't... Okay, you can end with this. All right.
And they said, I am down to record as long as Tracy makes me some bread.
So this person that will remain nameless.
No, I'm going to name this person.
Oh, you are?
Yes,
oh,
I'm
going to
name this person because, because I'm going to say that this person has agreed to come on the podcast soon. So I need to say who it is so that everybody can.
Okay. So sorry. So she said it that way. She said, I'm down to record if Tracy makes me some bread. Is that what, is that what it was?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
So it's for the price of Tracy, your wife's bread. Okay. Right? So Tracy will make you some bread. And
you read
have to come on.
You read it wrong or what happened?
No, they were talking about recording something else because they did this really funny laugh and I thought it was funny. So I was going to have it recorded and that's what she was talking about, but not.
Are you sure you're still supposed to say the name after saying all this stuff too?
Yeah, because I think it. Anyway, so. So, Katia, you need to come on the podcast pretty soon because you agreed to come on the podcast. And yes, I will make sure that Tracy makes you some bread so that you can come on the podcast. But no, we were. I called her to kind of confirm because she didn't respond when I said, hey, do you want to record today? Because we don't have a guest. Otherwise, it's just me and Kyle. And then I called her and she said, oh, that's not what I was talking about. So anyway, but
she was gracious.
But she was gracious and she did say she was going to come back on. So. If you see KTL, you should encourage her to come back on because she will come back on pretty soon.
But we are flexible. Like if you have all of a sudden some free time, and typically Wednesdays are a good day for us. But if you're having, oh, I have some free time, like reach out and we'll fit you in.
Yes, we would love to have more guests. And especially now that a lot of times it's me and Kyle, we would love to have more people and more voices come on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just feels like it's a more full conversation when it's more people. So. Mm-hmm. Reach out to us. Come on. Otherwise, we might be reaching out to you. Actually, we probably will do both.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.